The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's Gina's birthday, so we're taking the week off. Actually, Ray and I didn't want to take the week off, but when we sat down to record, we found that Gina had left us a voicemail. I have the transcription here. I can say that. F you all. I'm going to Big Bear and won't be back until I've swallowed every last pill in this baggie I mugged some hippie at UC Santa Barbara for, and I've effed every member of the U.S. National Cheer Squad, men and women, and your mom. I'm gonna F your mom, too. I'm gonna F her in the A with your dad's P and make you lick it. Hey, what's that? Is it drugs? Snorting sound. I am a golden god. Sounds of gunfire. So please enjoy this episode taken from the Patreon vault. As we know, Gina loves Christmas, the wholesome family traditions, the sense of togetherness and love. Probably should have written that after I read the voicemail. Anyway, here's the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special. We have more than 150 bonus episodes just like this locked away in the vault. Why not head over to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast and get access for just $5 a month. And while you're there, pray for Gina and hope her liver outlasts 6 dozen oxycodone and 18 physically fit bases, back spots, and flyers.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner. I'm the voice of Flint on G.I. Joe, and this is Knowing is Half the Podcast, which is actually an appropriation of the original saying, Knowing is Half the Battle, which was used in a number of public service announcements that have now been burlesqued on YouTube by a number of individuals, and I don't think there's a copyright issue at all. Have a good day.
And the Masters of the Universe.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite cartoon recap podcast. Maybe sometimes, but not today, talking about G.I. Joe.
That's just confusing.
Is that too much?
Now, everyone has turned this off, assuming that we have a new podcast about baking or something.
We don't?
Maybe.
Welcome back to Baking is Half the Podcast.
I thought you said banking.
Or yeah. Did you say banging?
No, I said, it's all about banging.
It's all about banging a pie.
Banging while baking and talking to bankers.
Well, my name is Ray Stakatis.
Welcome to Needing to Have the Podcast. This is both K N, so that's what
I like.
So what you're saying is we're soon going to be rolling in the dough.
No,
oh my god,
that's not what I said.
Oh,
I don't think I even intimated that.
It's time to admit that Chan and I have been very slowly poisoning you over this past year. Anytime you ask Chan to get you water,
oh no,
he puts a little bit of poison in it.
But it's the kind of poison that slowly melts my brain. And doesn't actually kill me. Yep.
You don't need that.
I don't.
That's why all the thermometers around here keep stop working, because they just drop a little bit of mercury in every time.
Oh,
a little bit of mercury.
Hey, what are your guys' names?
See? He doesn't even remember our names.
He's going crazy for the authorities later.
Yeah, he's turning into the Mad Hatter.
Turning.
I'm Robert Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
We are talking about the He-Man Christmas special.
Oh, whoa. Whoa.
Oh, excuse me,
whoa,
Gina.
Whoa, that's true.
He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special.
Wow. I realized halfway through saying it, I was wrong.
God.
You know what? You could have just stopped halfway
if
you had noticed you were going on. And just, because halfway
gone
there,
back.
That's He-Man.
To be fair, I didn't get a syllable out of place before Gina was leaping to correct me.
That's some revisionist history bullshit.
For real.
Guys, welcome back
half
to Nowhere Seen with She-Ra. Half the show.
I would actually argue, and you guys can all watch this episode.
Oh, and I highly suggest it.
She-Ra did way more in this episode than He-Man did.
Man.
Way more.
I feel like it was fairly balanced between the two characters.
Here's the thing.
No,
sure. Think
she
so?
Went on a mermaid trek.
She did.
Shira did a crap ton of stuff. Also, she brought Peekaboo with her, and that is beyond unnecessary.
That's the mermaid?
And she brought Perfumo with her.
So
she brought Mermista.
None of these characters are more annoying than Orko.
You're not wrong. They were all on par with Orko.
What was that weird ass animal? All right, you know.
Ray wants to start the beginning. There's too much crazy.
Because first off, I want to say, in keeping with the theme of the Christian holiday, we have a crossover episode, huh?
Is it because Jesus died on the cross that you just made that joke?
That's what I'm going for there.
There's blood on this cross that you're talking about?
There's blood on my hands.
That is not a...
I feel like you're talking about... I feel like you're confusing Christmas and Easter, maybe.
Maybe a little.
Cold open, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't even start with the... Like fuck the intro. We're just going to go right into it. We're just going to blow these fucking kids' minds.
Yeah.
And it's snowing in Eternia, where it is Christmas time, even though... There's no Christianity.
No. They're not. It's not called Christmas time. It's like the Eternia celebration.
Oh, excuse me.
Time.
Okay.
Because they don't know what Christmas is. They don't have it there.
It's like a winter solstice.
It's Christmas time at all. Well,
we are introduced to a buffet of characters here, and I couldn't remember. Like, I couldn't think of anybody's name here. So these are the names I wrote down quickly as the camera was panning.
Uh-huh.
And tell me how close I got. Elephant Head,
yep.
Fisto,
yep.
Peacock Fairy,
yep.
Witchy, Ethereal, Witchy,
correct.
Cereal Mascots,
correct.
Shitty Hawk Person,
correct.
Clearly Gay Confused Bachelor Man,
aww.
Angel Getting Hit On by a Werewolf, Woody the Erotic Broom, The Littlest Owl Bear, and Perfuma, What the Fuck.
Those are all the real
names.
Is
that all their real names?
I thought the one dude that I think you're calling gay, is he the guy with the mustache?
The guy with the mustache and the big heart on his chest.
I thought he was hot.
Oh, did you
now? Yeah, he's hot.
We found Gina's new title.
Is he She-Ra's love interest?
Yeah, he's.
Oh, is that right?
He's like he's her equivalent of Teela.
Right.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that I don't think he's into women,
dude,
at all.
He totally is.
Yeah.
You think he gets all the bangs?
That mustache is very indicative of late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, he's given all the mustache
straight
rides.
Up hetero.
Yeah.
Really? So he's like the Tom Selleck of She-Ra.
Yeah.
Oozing masculinity
also,
with that outfit.
Mind, She-Ra's land is all, this is what I loved when I was little. It's so colorful and rainbow-y.
Sure.
So it's very easy to think someone is gay in that color palette, but he is not.
Yeah,
but I wrote down because I feel like the She-Ra people and the He-Man people don't get together much. So I wrote down that they are gonna be boning this whole weekend. Like, seriously,
it's like summer camp with the boys' camp and the girls' camp across the lake.
I just feel like imagine like you see the same people over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden there's like fresh new hot blood. It would be like if you showed up to podcasts and instead of me and Chan, it was like, you know. Whatever you're into, Ray.
Oh, you better say two Melissas, otherwise there's going to be a hell to pay.
I have a beautiful wife, and if she was there was two of her, it would be too much, because one is enough for this guy. Thank you.
Your metaphor kind of breaks down, because it's kind of like, I feel like that means that at some point he wanted to fuck both of us.
No, that's true.
So... Yeah, but no,
but
like
then got bored with us over the past year.
So then
after
I started
a year
talking
and a half
to you guys,
of G.I.
like,
Joe, it was no, way too much.
Absolutely not.
I was thinking like it'd be like the reason why you would take an improv class at a different theater.
Yeah,
it's just
need,
so you can get
you,
the fresh meat.
And all
that's
of
the
these,
most upsetting thing ever.
All of these characters are ripped and gorgeous,
all good
and
looking.
Magical.
Is this dude's name Bo? As in B-O-W?
I cannot remember.
I'm looking at the pictures. You got your She-Ra.
Okay.
Angel, because she's got the wings.
Oh.
Glimmer and Frosta. I don't know that we saw those two. But there's Mermista, Peekaboo, Perfuma.
These names are upsetting.
And Flutterina.
Flutterina, I just get angry.
Entrapta? There's who presumably is a bad person, named Entrapta. There's Catra.
Oh, Catra.
She was
cool
in there.
As hell. She's cool.
Is her thing that she's like a cat?
Yeah.
Can I say,
nailed it.
Every single time that somebody's name in the She-Ra world was said out loud, I think I just have a note here like, go fuck yourself. These names are atrocious.
Yeah.
No, I very much
felt the
same
way.
The He-Man names are also not
Listen,
good.
The He-Man names are also terrible, but they're not even trying to be clever. That's the whole deal. They're just Ram Man, Man at Arms.
Catra is pretty clever.
What is it even? Catra.
She's a cat lady.
If it were Katarina, that would be pretty close.
Katarina would be cool.
She's very, she's sort of Eartha Kitty.
Growl.
Yeah, like she does a lot of that.
I love Eartha Kitt. You win me over right there.
But yeah, like that dude's name is Bow, like a bow and arrow.
Great.
Which
I love
also,
him.
Also
I thought it was
like
a staff. Like a bow staff.
Well,
like
I mean, also
like
there's
his penis.
Bow like yeah. like a paramour.
Yeah,
and
he can,
so
he can,
like a,
he can bow me anytime.
Double up the,
oh my goodness.
Bow yeah. you, bow you.
He can bow me over the bow of a boat and plow me.
Good night, everybody.
Right,
thank
so
you. We're done.
This
we're
character's
done
name is Plow now. Plow
say,
and She-Ra.
She-Ra's
are...
hair in this scene is on point. Can I say right now,
okay.
I loved her hair
when
in this scene.
When She-Ra is not She-Ra, it's
yes.
always great. And then for some reason, it gets much longer when she's She-Ra. Like,
yeah.
He-Man's hair stays exactly the same.
It just, like,
I don't
darkens.
Know how her hair gets longer.
I loved it.
It
was,
looks like it got longer.
It was full on like 80s boof, and I was
oh,
into
yeah.
it.
She's,
I was into
she's
it.
Hot. Sure. She's hot. Okay. I think honestly, she's hotter than He-Man because that hairstyle that He-Man is rocking was never attractive.
Ooh, that page boy Bob, it is not.
It's not. It was never good.
Yikes.
It is also, as I will say, upsetting. Mm-hmm. So they're doing a party. They're setting up for the big winter party. That's the idea behind all of this gathering.
Two notes that I had in all caps. One, all the toys, because obviously it was like
everybody.
Hey, you He-Man fans who are now watching She-Ra characters. Let's introduce you to them so that you can purchase them later on for your female friends. And then second, immediately after that was like
was that
all caps
thing?
Gender roles. It was like, oh, the women folk are all doing the decorating, and the
and
men
painting.
Are sitting around watching.
Yeah.
I feel like Ram Man was building something. Like, you know, he could
I think
do man
elephant,
stuff.
Elephant Head.
Elephant Head and Fisto.
I can't remember his real name. But I feel like he was maybe decorating a tree at some point. But I will say, it's weird because I guess it's because I had an older brother, but I had no She-Ra toys. And I don't remember watching She-Ra
really?
Nearly as much. So I don't know if it's just because like my brother thought that it was girly or
it's kind of hard to imagine that he wouldn't.
Well, okay, so here we go. He-Man and Matt in Arms on Christmas Eve or whatever is
oh
build are building
God.
A rocket ship.
They're building a fucking drone, is what
they're building.
Like if you listen to the description of that, it's called a sky spy.
Oh, that's true, huh?
And they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna spy on the bad guys. We're gonna send our drone to the Middle East and
yep.
spy on Skeletor.
Mm.
And if we don't like what he's doing, press the button.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
My goodness. Thanks, Obama. So they're like, okay, this rocket looks good. We'll test it tomorrow, I guess. We'll just leave it here on this launch pad now that we've built it. It's a strange conceit. And then, of course, as soon as they walk away, our pal Orko decides he's going to climb inside the rocket and fiddle with the controls.
Ugh, that little piece
of shit. I hate Orko so much.
He is a piece of shit.
I just wrote in my notes, God, I hate Orko.
Just have Orko, fuck you. So I think we're all on the same page. That's my note.
Oh, now I feel bad. Now I feel
fuck
bad.
Fuck off, Orko.
No, I mean, the idea is that, like, oh, this is something for the little kids to identify with.
You know, have you ever gotten in the car and started, like, pulling the steering wheel? I did, and I almost got myself killed by rolling down someone's driveway and into a mailbox.
So you were the fucking Orko, is what you're saying.
Maybe that's why I hate Orko so much, is because deep down, I am Orko. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh, no.
I'm trying to remember back, and I feel like I thought Orko was pretty awesome back when I was a kid.
Oh, dear.
Which is, I mean... Yeah, it's terrible to think about that. You know, I mean, obviously as kids we're just.
But you think about it though, there's 7-year-olds out there who think Jar Jar Binks is the shit.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
true.
I mean,
and before that, the Ewoks.
Well, the Ewoks were great. I think
I
Ewoks
know.
Were
we think
cool.
the Ewoks were great yeah. because we were kids when we saw it.
I watch it now. Holds up. Thank you. But by that I mean I won't watch it again.
yeah. So I mean, it's got. I gotta think they did the right thing. The Orko character, the kids identified with it. And...
He's their window into this world,
yeah.
right?
He's not perfect like the rest of them are, so the kids could see themselves in Orko.
But here's the thing: he's almost aggressively stupid. Here's how do
just
I get
like,
it?
Just like little kids.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're not wrong.
When was the last time you were around little kids? Go babysit some little kids, and you will find out that they are aggressively stupid.
Yeah. Then you know what he needs. Consequences.
Does he not get them in this episode?
He always gets them. That is the thing. If you recall back to the episode that we did when he messed with magic and created that monster,
the giant snake demon.
Yeah,
he always and it usually is up to other people to clean it up. But at the end, he does learn a lesson about like, oh, I shouldn't do crap like this.
And then he gets off and they say, don't do that ever again. He's like, okay. And very next episode. Back to doing the same shit again.
Just like kids. I don't know if you've ever been around a kid who like stuffs something up their nose and then they have to go to the hospital and you're like, never do that again. And then the next day they're like, oh, I just stuffed a sandwich up my nose.
Yeah. I understand.
A whole sandwich up there.
Kids are dumb and weird.
I understand. Now I got to try that. This is reality. This is very close to how a real child acts. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that if we're going to be teaching lessons in this fucking cartoon, we got to get down. Well, we got to, like, Orko does that, and he should have been, like, blown out of the hatch because obviously he pulled this thing off.
Listen, I'm no scientist. I don't understand rocket propulsion, Chan. Maybe you can explain this to me. He's fiddling with a lever. He rips the end of the lever off, exposing wires, and then the rocket immediately takes off.
Chan wants to see bits of bloody Orko in the snow.
I think we all
he
do,
wants
but
to
that's
see
not
red
that's
bits
beyond
of Orko.
Point.
I'm just saying there was a panel. He ripped it off. It wasn't supposed to come off. He ripped it off and snuck inside. Fine. That's a hole breach. You go off into space. You know what happens? You all get sucked out that hole.
True.
But I just want to see a frozen Orko like, oh, what did I do?
I've really done it this time.
Man at Arms and He-Man, upon seeing this, are like, oh. What's happening there? Like, right. They are way too chill.
Well, no, they had a rocket, and it's malfunctioning. Like, oh, shit. Oh, well, you know, we'll figure something out.
I feel like, if this were Earth, and all of a sudden a rocket, even if you think it's not manned, you would be panicking. But they're both like, hey, look at that. There goes that really expensive, magical rocket. Oh,
here's
well.
Gina over here. It's not rocket science. It literally is, Gina. It's literally rocket science. It is very difficult, and sometimes mistakes are made.
And it's a weird point because in the cartoon, they pick this as the moment to tell us who wrote it. And do you have written down like who the writer
Wait,
of this
really?
Episode is?
Yeah, Don Heckman and Bob Forward.
Now, who are those people? Because those names seem fake to me.
Kind of rude, I would think.
Heckman, let's go forward.
Sorry, guys.
No, they seem like very 70s type of writing names.
Do we know what else those people have written? Because I swear it'll be just this episode and nothing else.
Brave Star, She-Ra, Ghostbusters,
yeah.
Godzilla. Okay. Dinky Dog.
Well, if you wrote Dinky Dog, you're legit. That's
going
my
back
attitude.
To Tarzan and Space Academy. That dude had been writing for a while. That's Don Heckman.
So they wrote a bunch of shit together.
Bob Forward. He did some. Oh wow, he did some Transformers as recently as 2012.
Oh, dang, okay.
X-Men Evolution, Here's Beast Wars.
I take
Incredible
it all back.
Hulk,
good job.
Ultra Force, Captain Planet. Oh, Captain Planet.
I'm legit. Looking up, Mario I'm looking Legends. Dog right now because I can't remember what he looks like.
This dude has written a. Ton of stuff.
Jesus, oh, let's get him on the
proven
podcast.
Wrong, Ray.
it doesn't take much, Gina.
Oh, Dinky Dog is like a. Oh yeah, it's like a rip. It looks like a ripoff Scooby Doo.
Oh, it's a straight up ripoff of. It's like Marmaduke and Scooby Doo have a baby.
Yeah.
Of plagiarism, like that's. And that's what Dinky Dog
it's even
is.
The same. He even has like the same spots and the same blue collar.
The same color too. Gross.
Oh, I wonder if this is like a Photoshop thing. Now that I'm looking at.
Oh, well, if that's the case, then I take it all back. Good job.
Nope, it's not.
Oh. I don't take anything back then. Back on the record. Thank you.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
From the Masters of the Universe, Hordak reveals the most gruesome trap ever. Welcome to the Slime Pit.
The what?
The Slime Pit.
Now, Spike, or you're my slave, not the slime. Yes, my slime will overpower you. I've been slimed!
from the Masters of the Universe. You put it together. Figure sold separately from Mattel.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
I was about to say that we should look out for the episode of G.I. Joe that Bob Forward did.
Did he write one?
He did it in 1991, which means we would be looking at
series.
Tune in next year, guys, series. When we're doing it.
Oh, look forward to that one.
I don't know if any of you out there are looking forward to us doing Series 2. We are absolutely not looking forward to it.
I am. Speak for yourself.
Yeah, what? I don't know. I'm kind of like in a like masochistic way I'm looking forward to it after the one episode we did. Oh, by the way, I didn't think I mentioned for this, though. This is a Patreon episode that we're going to be giving to the masses for a weekend.
Oh.
Over New Year's. And so we're here at patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast if you'd like to subscribe, donate, support the show. And that absolutely, like, for $5 a month, we'll give you access to our bonus vault where you'll get this. You'll get an episode of Thundercats we're also going to record for this month. And if you go $20 or more, then we will let you choose which show we're going to do. So you can pick whatever the heck you want to, and we'll do it. We have no shame. We were doing this.
And who are we doing this for?
This episode is, of course, for Brian Rapp. And Brian, I want to say thank you. I apologize for taking so long to mention your name. We were so excited about doing the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special.
Excitement's a strong word.
I was excited.
I was excited.
I was ready to jump right into it and not even talk about the promo stuff that we are supposed to be putting at the top of every episode. So, Brian, first off, thank you so much for supporting the show.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
And we hope that you're on board with the thing we're already doing and you're listening to right now.
This was an episode. This was an episode of television.
Well, guys, let's get back to it, because now we cut over to the bad guys of the episode.
Uh-huh.
And we have Too Bad, who I absolutely remembered immediately, because his name is Too Bad. He has two heads. He's half purple. He's half blue. And he's bad. And there's two. So his name, God damn it, is Too Bad.
I will tell you what. For as terrible as all of these characters are, and yes, all of the He-Man characters, all of the peripheral ones,
disagree.
They get sloppier and lazier the deeper down the chain you go.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right. Look at me. I have a hammer in my hands. I am Hammer Man. Too Bad. Skeletor does such a good job of cutting them down.
Yeah.
He's just like a roast master general the entire time.
He's the Jeffrey Ross of evil.
Yeah, and they're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like... And Skeletor is just all like, y'all motherfuckers, get your shit together. I'm going to launch you out of this fucking ship. And they're like, and he was like, all right, I told you. I told you, motherfuckers.
When he says to them, oh, here you go. And they're like, well, we don't need a parachute. And then he shows them exactly why they need a parachute. Yeah.
He kicks. Here's the deal. They fuck up horribly. And this is why you don't put a schizophrenic guy with two heads in charge of directions.
To be fair, that's on Skeletor making him the pilot.
That is true.
And so we end up getting He-Man is now on the ship. He like takes a scooter up to the ship and starts attacking it.
At some point in the 80s, those flying scooters, that's what they considered to be
cutting edge.
Oh my God, I would love a flying scooter. I feel like it's not as dangerous as a flying motorcycle, but it's not as dorky as a flying moped.
Like, is which one's dorkier, the flying scooter or his flying jet ski from the other episode that we did?
I just want every like lame 80s thing to fly. I want to see a flying Yamaha.
Well, you know, it looked like one of those like go-kart machines that you get in and you like roll down the hill and those like 1980s like cartoons about build the fastest go-kart in town. He's riding that. It looks like it should just be rolling down a slope slowly. Instead, it just flies. It just flies through the air.
There, I want a sound bite here.
Yes.
Of He-Man saying something, and I feel like the writers know exactly what they're doing when they make He-Man say things like this.
You're trying to grab more than you can handle.
Okay, and those are the force belts that keep. They get like one force belt and he snaps it, then three and he snaps it, then like five and he snaps it. It's like, guys, more belts isn't going to be the answer.
Except it was the answer.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay. Well, nine belts ended up being the answer.
And then it was like, put one around my neck because I enjoy autoerotic asphyxiation.
Writers knew exactly what they were doing. That voice actor knew exactly what he was doing by the way he said grab, because he didn't just say like, oh, you're trying to grab more. He was like, you're trying to grab more than you can handle,
baby.
Like he knew exactly what he was doing.
There are so many awful one-liners that are clearly
it hurts.
Like intended to be the child version of your Rambos and your Stallones and Schwarzenegger type roles.
I definitely think that it's in some way sexual.
I think anything on this show isn't sexual.
Yeah, I think they were like, oh man, this will be hilarious. Well,
so can we say right now, She-Ra and her horse saves He-Man right here.
Flying Rainbow Horse kicks ass. I forget its name, but Flying Rainbow Horse
kicks
ass.
It's good for me.
Yeah, I wrote it down here somewhere.
And then She-Ra and He-Man on the side of the ship double punch the ship.
Yeah.
Therefore, blowing it up. Here's I was a little thing. Confused by how this metric works.
The thing that's interesting to me is I was thinking about this through the episode. I was like, so He-Man has like disgusting gigantic muscles. And they don't even try to make it look like She-Ra has muscles.
No, they don't.
So she like is why toned. Is it I don't know why it's because necessary for him to be so muscly.
He is the epitome of what a man should be.
He is He-Man.
She is the epitome of what a woman should be.
Feminine yet strong.
Yeah. That's
feminine.
True.
Period. Although no, she does like lift up some pretty heavy shit.
Oh yeah,
she does some heroic
she
shit in this
fight.
Show.
Yeah, and also her sword more useful than He-Man's. He-Man's is just a sword. Hers can turn into anything. It can turn into a lasso.
True. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it can
turn into like a...
Well, yeah, because you don't want her like straight up having sword fights. That would be too manly.
Yeah, I would. I was going to say briefly, now this is where Skeletor gives all four of his crew one parachute and shoots them out the airlock.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
And they have to just, like, fly down together. It was pretty... I loved it. I came out of this episode with such an appreciation for Skeletor.
Yeah.
And
Skeletor.
Oh, yeah.
He is.
Great.
Like, very cool. I really, like... I think Skeletor is right up there now with Cobra Commander in hindsight as far as favorite cartoon villains of all time.
Oh, yeah. He is great.
I mean, I knew
great.
He was great. It's just to be reminded of how great he
uh-huh,
is.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Really and, was stark.
And really, really, like, the cartoon in general is not good, but they pitched him just perfectly tone-wise to uh-huh. to sort of undercut a lot of that and still,
he
you
is
know,
such a misunderstood still, genius.
Yeah.
Like, no one appreciates him and his greatness.
What's this weird thing about She-Ra always calls He-Man brother.
Brother.
He never calls her sister. He calls her sis. Which is a little weird.
I think maybe is it because, like, hey, sister, it sounds too, like...
Right.
Easy,
well, no.
Sister.
No,
yeah, exactly.
Brother sounds that way. So why didn't she just say, hey, bro?
Except not when like, a blonde lady is saying it. Like, I feel like a guy couldn't say it to him. Like, he'd be like, hey, brother. But, like,
well,
when
one man could, and his
it.
Name is Hulk Hogan. Thank you.
That's true.
And Hulkamania was going
oh,
wild.
No, you know what it is?
Time.
Because of the nun connotation.
You think she's a nun?
No.
Well, then
like,
why not a friar connotation?
It would evoke, because no one back then knew what that was.
I think somebody knew what that was.
No, that's like a thing that like, in Lost, like, it was a thing, but...
I mean, my thing is just, why didn't you just say bro?
Because that wasn't a thing back then.
I don't think
bro
was a thing back then.
Yeah, bro was not a thing back then.
Sis is like from the 60s, you know? Like,
yeah, and it's more like,
What do you call, do you call your brother's brother? Do you say, hello, brother? How are you this fine morning?
No, but if I grew up in Eternia, I probably would.
Thank you.
It's more formal there, Chan.
Like if you had a magic sword that turned into a lasso, you would definitely.
Here's the thing. He calls his parents mother and father. He doesn't call them mom and dad.
Very formal.
It's a formal place.
He's diminutive.
Can we say Eternia is a lot like Cuba? Is that it's stuck in the 60s forever?
Yeah, there's car parts all around because they can't import car parts from other places.
But the Eternian cigars are delightful. Can I say that out loud?
Rolled between the thighs of a mermaid. what the hell's her name? Mista.
Mermista.
Mermista. Yeah. It sounds like a drink.
It sounds like a aerosol can that you spray after you crapped.
Oh, I took a big duke. Honey, can you bring me the Mermista? Oh, that smells like shit too.
Smells like somebody shit on a bunch of flowers.
Okay, so Orko's in space and he's floating through space and he finds Earth.
Here's the thing, that that drawing looked nothing like Earth. Am I alone in thinking that? Maybe they didn't want to tip the hat that it was Earth.
Maybe.
But I was like, what is this gray blob of a planet? Do they not know what Earth looks like? They had pictures of Earth back then.
They had been to the moon and looked around.
Immediately Orko saves a couple of annoying children.
Yeah, we meet Miguel and Alicia, uh-huh. And immediately horror music starts playing for a reason I can't fully understand.
I don't know, but like, there's a lot of problems here. Like, where are their parents? Their parents aren't... throughout this whole episode, spoiler alert, those kids are going to be away for a while.
They will be missing for weeks.
And their parents do not give
not
a
even interested.
Crap. And the kids aren't scared. And so when they meet Orko, they're not like, holy crap, what are you? They're like, hey, oh, we got lost. We're crying now. And then Orko's like, don't cry.
That's because children are stupid.
Well, not just that. He casts a spell right in front of them.
Yeah.
And I really think they're trying to channel E.T. in this moment with the whole, like, you know, the little, like, alien dude who's got made of magic.
Yeah, but even in E.T., that kid is like, what the crap? Okay, I'm going to feed this thing candy. Let's see what happens. These kids are like, yeah, we're immediately cool with this thing. And then right away, they start indoctrinating him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is like those people who, I hope I don't upset any missionaries right now that listen to us, but this is like those missionaries that go to places that need food and water, and instead of bringing food and water, they bring a Bible.
Yes. They start proselytizing Orko immediately and being like, let me tell you about Jesus. Now, they don't say it on the episode. They go to, and then there was a manger, and then he's like, what a lovely story.
Uh-huh, and they cut away from all the religious crap that goes on.
It's like...
Because at first I was like, oh, yeah, because at first he's like, well, what's Christmas? And they're like, it's when you get presents. And I'm like, oh, good, good. They're not going to touch on the rest of Christmas. They're just going to touch on the positive things of Christmas.
And then also, this dude was nailed to a piece of wood.
And fade away. Way, and we're back again.
Also, the little girl thinks that this sky spy is a flying saucer because she doesn't know what a fucking saucer is. You know, round.
You mean like a Plan 9 from outer space disc?
I actually thought this was pretty smart that she was like, oh, it's a UFO. Basically.
She didn't say it was an unidentified flying object. She said a flying saucer.
Here's the thing.
Like,
That means the writers don't know what a saucer is.
For the record, we don't know what angle she saw it at. It could have been looking very flat from where
actually,
she was.
Actually, we do. We can look at the tape.
Don't worry about that.
She's looking at the goddamn wing. It looks like a fucking airplane.
She's like,
must be a saucer.
There was a period of time where, especially like if you go back and watch old Twilight Zone episodes, where they just called everything a flying saucer.
I don't think you're wrong there. I don't think you're wrong at all. Now, was there a point where Orko said it all sounded very confusing? Because that, I laughed real hard because I'm like, I'm with you, Orko. It does all sound very confusing.
I'm really getting confused.
No, it's not confusing. Not at all.
Orko was right. It is very, very confusing if you really break it down.
I was thinking of this as I was watching it, and I was like, God, how do you even begin to someone from another planet who I guess they sort of have religion, but it's like sorcery, basically, is what they have.
There's
their
real
religion
magic in
is
his
like
planet.
Magic.
Yeah.
But if I was to say to someone like, okay, let me explain to you what we got going on this planet.
Oh, jeez.
So, a really, 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 really long time ago, a woman got pregnant, but like she did not have sex. So contrary to any biological thing, she just had a baby in her uterus. Because if someone told me that story, I would first be like, she lied. And then they were like, no, swear she didn't lie. A higher being put a baby inside her. I would be like, oh, a fucking alien came down and implanted her with alien baby?
No, the first thing they would have said is like, oh, your biology is different from ours. I guess, you know, it's some sort of, you're aliens and you do things differently. And then you have to explain, like, no, we still take our penises and put them into vaginas. It's just in this one specific instance, God put his penis in her vagina.
Metaphorically.
But also
sort of literally.
Kind of
and
literally.
And then we celebrate this day because that's the day that this baby was born. And somehow, like, a lot of people knew that it was a special baby because there was a star in the sky. So a lot of people walked really, really far to bring this baby some presents.
But not just that. I mean, obviously, this happened in, like, May. And it celebrates a pagan holiday. Let me explain to you what paganism is. Maybe that would help if we start there.
And at that point, they were like, there were, like, some wise men who crossed the desert. I would be like, oh, what? what nationality were these wise men? And
they
would
were
tell
all white.
Me, and then
all
I,
white.
And then, like, they would be like, oh, you know, like they were like desert people. And I'd be like, oh, you must be real good friends with anyone who's any type of descendant from this person. You must all be real, really, really nice to the descendants of these wise men who live in a place that is near a huge desert.
Oh, no, we bomb the shit out of them all the time. Call them heathens. It's pretty neat.
And then we get presents because this miracle baby was born. I would not, and we cut down a tree.
At which point we cut back to Orko saying, "It's awfully
I'm
confused."
Really confused.
No, I feel like then Orko's like, "It sounds wonderful.
It sounds wonderful." Get to the bombing.
I wanted it to cut back and him be like, "Wow, this sounds really dumb." And then like all of the parents' associations in the '80s would have been like, "Blah blah blah, we're on Christmas."
Here's the thing. We've all established, and we all agree, Orko's a fucking idiot.
That is true.
So when he's like, all right, I believe all of these things that you've told me, even though I don't understand them at all, and I've repeatedly told you this is too much information given to me at one time, this data dump, I cannot comprehend it. I would believe you, though, because I am a child and I am stupid.
And then when they get back,
he picks up on certain things because he's like, what about the jingles bell?
Yeah,
that's true.
And I want to know how they worked that into the story of Jesus.
That is the correct pluralization as well. It's like Surgeons General. It's one jingle bell, two jingles bell.
No
Can I say
way.
Right now, though, Orko is the worst type of that person because he gets back to Eternia and is going around being like, you don't know who Christmas is? Fuck you.
Yeah.
I just found out about a minute ago.
It's like when your friends just recently discovered a band and they're like, how do you not know about this fucking band?
Last week, neither of us knew about this fucking band. Kill yourself. okay, well, first off, I got a couple issues here. First off, we have a finder beam. Apparently, there's something called a finder beam that just exists where you can just find somebody, but you need a magic crystal, so there's our MacGuffin.
The finder beam found them. They found them on Earth. I don't know how far away Eternia is from Earth, but apparently it's pretty damn close
because
he just shot over there in about a day.
They touched on this, but He-Man's mom is from Earth.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys
Correct.
Knew this.
Yeah.
But, did not know until
but
now.
She landed there and then...
How'd she get there?
I don't remember.
Space probe.
I don't remember, but then the local king seized her as his
child
wife
bride.
And forced her to have take his seed.
Right.
And then we also
the transport beam is what requires the carrion water crystal.
Beam, excuse me. Okay. We also get the She-Ra jam. Like the She-Ra song that made me leap out of my seat and start dancing.
Oh yeah, you mean when she transforms?
Oh yeah.
Can we
I really would like to hear that for a moment for the people at home.
Here?
Party on!
The hottest jam of 1986.
I loved it.
If we were periscoping right now, you'd see all of us dancing in our chairs.
We
were
all dancing. Hey, I got the moves.
Straight up, okay. We were dancing.
So now here's the thing. So He-Man has for the power of Grayskull.
Correct.
She-Ra has for the honor of Grayskull. And I get that they can't use power again.
Mm-hmm.
But did they have to make it so, like, it feels so icky? Like
that, actually, I'm fine with, because I don't think of it in the sense of, like, honor killings or anything like that.
Okay.
I think of it in the sense of,
that
like...
That was where my head went.
I was thinking, like, here's this big, dumb galoot. All he knows how to do is lift things up and down.
Yeah.
She is fighting for honor and justice and truth.
Okay. I would have liked for the justice... Yeah, I guess honor is just as good. You're right.
Yeah.
I immediately went to a place of, like, she better stay a virgin or else that sword won't work.
Oh, no. That's not where my even sort of brain went. Oh my god, you guys!
In the
80s,
it's probably what they meant, but I definitely took it as like, you get the power and the power to punch things. Congratulations. We're gonna give the brains to this one. She's gonna actually do the stuff that you can't.
Also, as we're about to see in a second, she does have the brains because she goes to find this crystal from Mermista, who's a mermaid, and when she asks her like.
Because of course she
mermaid?
Is. God damn it!
Her name's Mermista, and she's a mermaid as well.
Hey, listeners might not have put that together. She's also very hot. She's a hot mermaid.
She is hot.
Everyone associated with She-Ra is super hot.
Quick sidebar here: what would our He-Man / She-Ra names be if we lived on Eternia? And or what planet is she on?
She's also on Eternia.
Is she?
Yeah, it's just like a different part.
I thought they called it something else.
Oh, Eternia is the kingdom, I think. Shira is from like the kingdom, the next kingdom over.
What's it called?
Lady Powria.
Futuria or something.
Oh,
like
that sounds right. I don't even know if it's right. That sounds great. That's what it should be.
I think it's something like
Shan,
that.
Shan, you're asking what are He-Man and
because,
Shira?
Because
I feel like I would be...
Mermista is a fucking mermaid. We know that Perfuma smells nice, and that's what she does.
Immediately, all I could think of for myself was Short Round. But, but that's already taken. That's already taken.
We just add some syllables. Short Rounda.
Yeah. Shortista.
Shortista?
Yeah.
Okay. Shortista?
Yeah, I'll take that. That makes sense.
I think I would be a Galoot man.
I can see that.
I can see that.
I feel like I would be Hey Tor.
So you're on the villain side in this world.
Yeah.
Why would you? How is that a question?
All right, someone draw us up as Shira figures.
Or if you yourself have a better name for us and you have a He-Man or She-Ra name for the three of us, tweet it at G.I. Joe Podcast or put it up on our Facebook page. Trust me, we want to see that.
I dropped the round part because I'm not actually round, you guys.
No, but you do eat a lot. So.
I do eat a lot.
More than anyone I've ever met.
And luckily I am still petite.
Tiny is the word.
But Shira proves that she has the brains because she basically goes to Mermista and is like, hey, do you know where this like super rare crystal is? And
right.
Mermista is like, yeah, it's totally over there. And Shira's like, cool, come with me and help fight. And she's like, all right.
Let's work together.
Like,
cool.
She totally, like, conned her into that crap.
But this is what's crazy about it, because the Mermista's just like, there's a beast monster in the lake where the crystal is.
Yes.
And so we're thinking to ourselves, like, it's just a rumor. We don't know if there's really a beast. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, of course there's a goddamn beast monster down in the lake.
Because
you wouldn't be mentioning it
otherwise. I was hoping it would turn out to be the Beastmaster from the movie from the 80s.
That would have been
the
amazing.
Beastmaster. And then he can have a romance with Shira, and then she can live with him and his little... What are they called? Little, not otters.
Pono.
What are they? Weasels? No, ferrets.
Ferrets. Yeah. Mark Singer would be hot as fuck on top of She-Ra.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just going to town.
Jesus.
His little ferrets are watching, covering their eyes with their tails.
What? Okay. So a beast monster comes out of the lake, of course, and starts running after She-Ra, and we're led to believe this is some like deep monster, that this is going to be a battle for the ages, and instead he takes literally two steps and then trips over his own feet and falls like through a chasm.
I thought he was going to turn out to be just a misunderstood monster, like he's like the lion with a thorn in his paw.
Okay.
Because I felt really bad for him, so I was bummed that he just ended up being just a dumb, stupid, evil monster.
This is only because we watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer like 2 days ago.
Not wrong.
So you're like, oh, he's just like the Abominable Snowman. All monsters are the Abominable Snowman. They just have tooth issues and they'll be fine.
Now, this one is just sort of completely useless. Like, he's there to be menacing, and it just lasts for like a second, and then he's completely defeated forever.
I feel bad for him. I feel like he had a family of beast monsters. He came from a family of beast monsters, and they all got really good assignments, like guarding other things. And this is like his third assignment because he failed at all of them, and when he goes home for the holidays, they're gonna be like, so anyone steal any lake crystals from you recently? And he's gonna be like, I really tried.
You know what, he fell down and like he wasn't hurt, he was just like stuck while they got the crystal, and then he goes back to his thing, and it really, his day is just like, oh, what are these assholes doing here with my, get out of my house, get out of my yard, you goddamn kids.
Yeah.
Damn it, I slipped and fell, all right, they're gone now, I just whatever,
go back.
Yeah, he doesn't care about a water crystal, it just happens to be there.
That's true.
Do you have a sound clip, Chan, of She-Ra's unicorn horse talking? Because his voice wrong. I have it written down
so
here. Is he a goddamn demon? Because I had to go back and re-listen again because I was writing something. I was like, who the fuck is talking
now? Here's the thing. Unicorn horses were big in the 80s because Rainbow Bright also rode a unicorn horse.
They never went away, as Bob's Burgers can clearly attest.
That's true, actually.
But did they ever sound like this?
What are they?
What the fuck is going on?
Here's the thing.
I'm scared.
I'll tell you what he sounds like. He sounds like the rock monster from the Neverending Story.
Oh my God, he does.
That's what he fucking sounds like.
Oh my God.
I'm looking up Rainbow Bright.
Swift Wind.
Rainbow Bright.
Because I'm used to, listen, if I'm voicing like a unicorn, it's like, oh, She-Ra.
Let's go defeat the log monster. This is Rainbow Bright's rainbow horse.
And it's sexy as shit.
They look identical.
They do. Except, and it's just, but you're not expecting that. If that horse all of a sudden came up to you, it's like, hello, Gina.
I guarantee you, and I'm looking it up right now to find out specifically the name. I guarantee you the voice actor does like six other voices. And so it was like he has to make his voice distinct. So he's just like, hey, this is my voice. I'm a unicorn.
I'm telling you, it is the rock monster from the Neverending Story.
And that
rainbow horse is one step away from going, they look like good, strong hands. But I couldn't keep the nothing away.
I'm not kidding. I had my headphones on watching this. I turned
thing.
And then all of a sudden I heard the voice and I almost deafed myself right there in the moment. I thought somebody had broken into my house.
I thought it was terrible. The exact same thing.
Lou Scheimer is the actor.
To take nothing away from Lou Scheimer, I'm sure he's a delight who does many great voices. This one just seemed incorrect for the character.
Lou, you did a great job. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
He was the
executive producer of He-Man.
Oh, no.
So
nice.
he forced them into giving him that role.
I feel like maybe this was a discussion that they had that it would be funny if he didn't talk like a normal unicorn.
The reason producer Lou Scheimer performed the voices for so many supporting actors was that the official voice actors were contracted to perform no more than three different voices per episode, which we've learned.
We learned about that with Bill, yeah.
And since there were usually only three regular cast members working on each show, Lou would fill in the rest of the male cast.
Uh-huh.
And he clearly did not give a shit then.
While his wife Jay and daughter Erica did very small parts in the first season of He-Man. Wow, yeah.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
He's getting mad. He's getting mean. He's breaking the line for the G.I. Joe team.
That's right. It's William the Refrigerator Perry.
The fridge is going G.I. Joe.
Hey, you can get a free fridge. Here's how.
Select five fridge certificates or call the number on the certificate and the fridge will tell you how to get in on the action with only four certificates. There's a $1 handling charge. See details on specially marked G.I. Joe packages.
Watch out, Cobra. Fridge is coming through.
Go, Joe!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Cool. Well, moving forward, we get to meet. Okay, guys, we got to talk about the fake Transformers, right?
Yes, everything about
I wrote
so
Transformers in all caps. Then after they transform, I was like, no, sorry, GoBots.
Not even GoBots.
Yeah.
GoBots at least were
they turned
took
into
the shape of something.
Yeah.
These things like turned from like a walking robot into a robot now on its back leg, but with its like head straight up its own ass. And that's what the robots turned into. Mm.
But also they mention other robots. What are the little robots' names?
The Man-Sheens.
The Man-Sheens,
which is
and they're known as the Monstroids.
Yeah, the Monstroids versus the Man-Sheens. And Man-Sheens to me, it sounds like an army of Charlie Sheen
so
clones.
Many levels. We'll get to
the Man-Sheens in time.
It sounds like an army of Charlie Sheen clones, and it is very disturbing.
It just they get these weird like robot tentacle sensors that come up out of the ground, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking to myself, instead of sitting there staring at it, She-Ra, why not get on your flying fucking horse and go away? You got what you came for. Leave. Instead, she's hanging out. She meets the Monstroids, and she gets caught in a bubble. And then they say, "Cool, we got her." And then they just leave her in the bubble and fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think they take the crystal. They just go away.
Here's the thing: can we go back to Earth now and explain the fact that Orko is about to kidnap these children?
Okay, yes. We leave the She-Ra caught in a bubble to take us back to Enchant. I need the Jingle Bell sound pull here. I need it more than life itself right now.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Guys, that is not how the fucking song goes.
That's all they know. They don't want to pay the royalties on the real one. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells.
When you get to the third word, you got to pay for it.
Jingle, jingle bells, jingle bells.
Bells. it upset me. That honestly, I was very angry when they started doing that.
I feel like if you're a little kid, it is hard for you to remember words to songs.
The next word is fucking jingle. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle.
That's what they remember. And then they're probably like, I don't know what the rest of it is. I guess it's bells.
Bells.
Just said jingle again.
God damn you dumb kids. Look, I know that you're on a different planet with an alien monster who I don't trust completely with your
safety. They're still on Earth at this point. They have no excuse.
Yeah, they're in his alien spaceship, and at no point is there any discussion between any of them of like, hey, let's like get you back to your parents.
No, nowhere is this even mentioned.
And instead, it's like, oh, hey, I think they're trying to bring me back to my planet. You kids come.
Yeah.
Come with me to my planet.
Because Orko's full of terrible ideas.
Yeah.
In the 80s was big. The 80s was a decade that was big on stranger danger.
Yeah.
Like we learned all about it in class. We had exercises where it was like, ooh, you've got to give your mom a safe word so that if someone comes to pick you up and they don't know the safe word, you don't go with them. And
what was your safe word?
I didn't really have one. My mom worked at the school.
Her mom did not love her.
Well, Gina did get abducted a lot as a child.
Yeah. My mom worked at the school, and my mom was just basically like, here's the deal. I'm never going to send anyone else to get you. Because
I will
like,
never leave you.
She was like, it's either going to be me, your dad, or your grandma. Like, that's it. And if it's anyone else, fucking run. So we used to do drills in the house. If there's a fire, this is how we get out, because we had a second story like balcony. My dad would go first. He would help my mom down, then they would carry us down. It was a whole thing.
But here's the deal, though. You're right. The 80s was about don't go off with strangers.
Yeah.
Unless apparently if they're dressed like midget Tom Baker in a purple house dress. Then
mom,
get on the airplane.
A faceless boy in a robe told us to come with him to another planet. So of course we said yes.
And yeah, and to Chan's point from earlier, they must have been gone for weeks.
No, that was my point. Thank you.
Oh, as Chan said earlier, my name is Gina Ippolito. What? I'm sorry, what?
I don't think weeks, but they are definitely gone for days. And at no point is anyone concerned. Like, I think it's like the only thing they're concerned about is, are we going to miss Christmas?
Guys, I just had an epiphany.
Are they orphans?
Well, no, because we meet their parents. I think their parents sent them out to get that tree knowing the avalanche was going to happen.
Yep.
And they
yes.
sent them out to be killed. So when Orko returns with them later in the episode, they're like, oh.
Wait, isn't this back. A plot point in Hansel and Gretel?
So nice
yes,
to see
yes.
you.
Hansel and Gretel's dad leaves them
right?
in the forest for them to get killed. It is a very dark story.
Snap.
He can no longer afford them. And he leaves them in the woods, but they're so like industrious that they're like, oh, we've got breadcrumbs. Let's follow this shit back. And then they kill a witch. I'm thinking they probably went home and killed their dad pretty soon after.
Well, I agree with what Chan said about Hansel and Gretel right there. And sorry, I'm just being a jerk now. I can't even help myself. Okay, so there's a meteor, and the meteor is like the all-seeing eye. And we meet Hordak, which is She-Ra's skull-faced villain.
Yeah, which I have an issue with the fact that her main villain is also a guy.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't her main villain be a woman who has a guy sidekick?
It's true.
His name's like Edwin Lynn or something like that instead of
as opposed to Evil Lynn.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that his fucking name is Whore. His name is freaking Hordak.
Horde. Like a horde.
Yeah, it makes less sense
Huns.
Than Skeletor, for sure. Like, he should have been named, like, Skullhead. based on the logic of the other names
but
on
the
show.
But we are saying that She-Ra's writers were at trying for clever names.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Hordak is an appropriately clever name, but, you know, it's less on point than some of the He-Man names
are. It sounds like a noise that Ren and or Stimpy would make when they were throwing up.
Hordak!
Yeah, like, hork it! They used to do that all the time.
Okay, now I just have... Okay, so Orko gets back, and this is the part I was mentioning earlier. He tries to tell everybody, like you don't know what Christmas is, even though he literally just found out about it. And I just have here, Orko, you hipster trash.
Yeah.
And then immediately he goes, who's Santa? Fuck off, Orko. Like,
yeah.
I want everybody in the scene to just die.
This is where I wrote...
Who's Santa? You don't know who Santa is? I can't believe it. Everybody knows who Santa is.
I want to choke him. Just reach through my screen and choke the life out of him in that moment.
I'm not sure what made me write this, but immediately after I wrote, these kids are serial killers, right? Because I think like throughout the whole thing.
Why?
Here's the thing. They are calm as F throughout this whole thing.
They really are a little Hannibal Lectery.
Like, they are not, they are on a different planet seeing all sorts of crazy things, and they are just super chill. And I think that they are going to, like, I think that in 2 years, they are going to be murdering their classmates and hiding their bones in their backyard.
Oh my goodness.
Not to mention the fact that this whole thing has probably scarred them for life. But I think that they are straight up sociopaths.
There's a weird thing that happens because, like, they're oddly, you're right, calm the whole time about mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a moment like four scenes deep where they're just like, hey, on a side note, can we get back to our parents on Earth at some point? Like, hey, I'm trying to be cool here. I'm trying to be cool. But it's, you know, do want to get back at some point.
They
want to
get back for Christmas. They don't give a crap about their parents.
They want their presents.
That's a great point. And they try to give them presents in Eternia, and they suck. Their presents are terrible.
It's like socks.
Fucking toys and shit.
You can't even handle that muscle-bound female She-Ra.
Again, she's not very muscly.
Not muscle-bound. Muscle-bound implies you can't move properly.
I mean, that's where the sexism comes in, because like if she can do anything physical at all, it's like, she lifted a 50-pound bag of rice. What a muscle-bound monster.
What a meathead.
Yeah, it would be. I would like to see the villains swap heroes for a little while, because I feel like Skeletor is just constantly thinking that Hordak is a puss, because he's like, oh, his hero is a chick. I've got a dude. It's way worse for me.
They do kind of have that argument, though, where he's just like, yeah, man, you get beat by He-Man all the time. He's like, yeah, but at least I don't get beat by a girl.
Yeah, but you get beat by a guy with a girl's haircut.
Ooh,
that's
good.
What the comeback
is. That's
pretty
rough
is.
Right there.
That's a tough one.
Okay, so...
Also, yes. This I love.
That's me!
That's Wario right there. I don't know... I don't know where you think he came from, but it was absolutely Skeletor.
At this point, I wrote, like, what the fuck is this subplot that's going on? Because I thought it was going to be a very different episode.
Didn't you?
Once all the robots show up, and once there's, like, another villain above the villains, I'm sort of like, who, what? What's happening here?
There's a master villain who's in charge, apparently, of all the secondary villains who, to us, are the big villains.
I do not remember this.
I don't.
From
I
He-Man
think this might be
all.
An invention. And then, yeah. So, Peekaboo. I just have written down here. God damn it, Peekaboo. Stop. Why are they riding around in a dildo ship? I can't be the only one who noticed it's a giant freaking cock that they're riding around in.
To be fair, you think everything is a giant cock, right?
Oh, is because it is. Thank you.
Yeah. We walked by a 7-Eleven the other day, and it was like, what are you doing getting chips from that giant cock? Like, right. That's not right.
Isn't it, Chan?
No.
Isn't it?
It's definitely not.
Well, okay, so the monstroids show up and they kidnap the children, and they're basically like, hey, here's the deal. We're going to murder y'all and take your children and your Orko for reasons I can't.
I know. I think that they're probably just like, ugh, this thing will keep those other things occupied.
Couldn't they just be like, you know what, let's execute Orko as a warning to the others? For me?
I don't know how to kill Orko, to be honest. I feel like he has done so many horrible experiments that he is like, not, he's like Voldemort now.
Well, he's
destroyed
gaseous.
His body.
Yeah.
In some experiment, and now it's like, I'm not sure how to kill this thing, so I guess we'll just leave it be, because it's mostly harmless.
Just keep letting it ruin our lives, guys. It's,
But so they put these kids in jail, and my first note was, wait, we've established that Orko can escape jail.
We ran right over.
What did we miss? The kid singing?
You specifically told me to bring this up.
Excuse me, yes. I actually flipped right past my own note here.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who haven't watched the episode, good call, by the way. Absolutely.
You're not
should
wrong.
Not be watching.
Disagree.
Here is Christmas on Eternia. Happiness.
Christmas spirits in the air, Eternia.
Apparently, they're clapping because sort of something.
Feel that you're a part.
Still going.
I just remembered why I wrote my serial killer note.
Here's the deal.
This is when I wrote it, when they started laughing.
That's the Christmas spirit.
Yep.
That's
the
when
laughter.
I wrote that they were serial killers.
The laughter.
Guys.
I will say, though, it's hard to write a good Christmas song. And they wrote that in like 5 minutes. Was it Bowman who helped them?
I think you're right, yeah.
I feel like it was him.
Bowman?
Who's the bow guy, confirmed bachelor.
My new boyfriend?
Oh, right. Yeah. Because...
Mustache rides?
He had all of the things that an 80s... a young girl in the 80s blossoming into the fullness of her flower... when she starts getting her period, basically, she wants a dude with a mustache who knows how to play the lute.
But he also can't be too masculine. He has to have many feminine qualities, so it's not scary yet.
Mm-hmm.
Peace and sharing.
So which is your favorite Christmas song, Gina? Christmas on Eternia or Christmas Shoes?
Oh, man. I want those little kids to be the kids in Christmas Shoes.
Okay, excellent.
And they want to buy those shoes to their mom at home.
Mm-hmm.
Because their dad, the really fat guy at the end.
Here's the thing. They're not getting him because she's sick. They're getting him because they tied her down to like a bed frame and have been slowly bleeding her.
Oh, my God.
And they want her to have nice shoes on when she dies just so they can watch the light in her eyes go out.
This is a great moment to actually mention that, Gina, we did get two new Patreon subscribers since we promised if we got a new Patreon subscriber, you would put on the reindeer outfit for a video.
Oh, you didn't bring the reindeer outfit.
I forgot it.
And it's okay. We can make this at home. Get Samir to help
you. No, I have to sing it to you, Ray. That was part of the thing.
Okay. We've only got a few days left to make this happen. So.
We will try to find a time.
You guys forgot to remind me to bring the reindeer onesies.
It's my own
fault.
Right
on top of my dresser.
To be honest, you bring it so often that I just assume that you would have brought it.
We assume you're wearing it under everything you're wearing.
Yeah, it's like my Superman outfit.
We do need to make this video, though, of you singing Christmas Shoes with the reindeer outfit on. I might have to just come over, and then we'll just shoot it in the quick.
Good God. This does need to appear. All of those words that you just said there sound awful.
Oh, no. What did I say?
Roll back the tape. I'm going to come over to your house and record you wearing funny clothes. This is going to be awesome. I didn't ask if I could come over. I'm going to come over with a camera.
You can come over. But I feel like we also need Chan there. He's got to be like the shop owner or something.
The witness,
as the person in line behind the child buying the shoes.
No, like there's the kid is talking to the shop owner and then turns around and
there's other customers
talks
there.
To the sucker.
Yeah, and that's Chan.
Wait a minute, I feel like Chan's the shop owner.
Oh, is he the shop owner now and I'm the sucker? It only makes the most sense.
No, you're the sucker because he's singing most of the song to you. It's like because he's like. Sir, I want to buy these shoes.
Wait, are we doing the entire 4.5-minute video? I thought this was like 20 seconds long.
I mean, I only know so many of the words.
Okay, cool.
So it'll probably end up being a minute long.
Guys,
after that, just start filling in love and caring, peaceful
and
bliss.
Cheering.
Yeah, I just want to kill myself right now. So we meet the Monstroids. Now we meet the Mansheens, the arch enemy good guys of the Monstroids,
so
named Cutter and Zipper. And I just have in small letters here, they suck.
Oh, they're cute.
They suck.
They're cute, but their names are, again, serial killer names.
Cutter?
Yeah.
Yeah, like their names like
Or that's
a
the depressed one.
Oh, I was thinking it's like a group of like MRA dudes that like wanna not let anyone know online who they are, and they're all planning on like kidnapping a few women and like showing them who's boss. And they're like, I'm Zipper, because I like fucking zip them up into the body. I don't know.
And if you go to my website, mrray.com, the men's rights forum run by me, Ray of Knowing Is Half the Podcast, you'll learn all about what your code name would be as a men's rights activist.
If you are a man sheen. Oh,
if you
my man God,
sheen.
That is an MRA thing,
no.
100%. We're the man sheens.
Oh, no.
And we hate women.
The only thing we hate more than women are good code names. They're terrible.
It's a little off-putting that they look like babies.
So I looked this up.
Baby hybrids, like Dr. Moreau babies.
I looked this up, guys. Both the Monstroids and the Mansheens. It turns out This was a property they were trying to turn into a thing.
Of course.
And only ever appeared in the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special and never were seen ever again in anything.
It was obvious they were trying to do a spinoff.
So I don't understand how they thought they could turn those monstroids into toys. They were just so haphazard.
They were not good toys.
You could do it. You could do it.
They would just suck.
Like, here's like the design. I can't even begin to imagine
they would flesh out more
someone
later on.
How the engineers or the designers of the Transformers toys did what they did. We have a car.
Brilliant. Yeah.
How do we add things to make it into a robot and construct it in such a way that it could be taken down and opened back up
Seriously.
Multiple times?
Space program
like
stuff.
Just yeah, like it, all the joints and it has to look like a thing at one point and then it has to open up and look like another thing. If it looks too shitty, like we know what that looks like. It looks like the GoBot.
It looks like a GoBot. Everybody knows that.
I just Googled Man Sheen toys because I was pretty convinced that they were toys, but my Google just thinks that I'm misspelling machine every time I do it.
Yeah, no, they wanted this to, like, hey, we have a He-Man She-Ra hour-long Christmas special we're going to put out there. Let's use it to launch a new brand of toy.
Yeah.
But loosely based on the popular Transformers.
But this is why I feel like they were probably toys, because a lot of times they came up with the toys before they...
Man, I feel like this was one of those, like, put it out like a pilot almost. You put it out there and see if people respond to it, and then if it does, you go full blue.
I typed Man Sheen toys 80s, and nothing, and it still just thinks I'm misspelling.
Look, the Monstroids as tall, giant death robots are kind of cool in their own way. Like, they're not great, but there is something about there to be like, yeah, they're a little BA, I'm into it. And as soon as they transform into just weird abominations of nothing, it's just the same five pieces rearranged in a different formation.
I forgot how jacked these, like cartoon He-Man is jacked.
Yep.
But toy He-Man is
you got veins on that dude.
I mean, he is not healthy.
Oh, jeez.
He looks like he has tumors.
Well, no, that's the battle armor.
But his waist is also very small.
Well, yeah, he's got to keep his waspish girly figure.
I mean, he that's not the armor that's making him look bulgy.
I mean, say that, but right next to him is Skeletor, who I would remind you all is a skeleton. And yet somehow has...
He has a skeleton face. We don't know. The rest of his body is not a skeleton. That's why he's Skeletor.
He does have webbed feet, so it's a little weird.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that's Duckmaster.
Duckmaster?
Yeah.
I definitely had this guy that changes faces.
Oh, Manny Faces, my favorite.
Yeah.
Because, again, the names are terrible.
All of these Manny are still in my parents' attic, by the way.
I wonder if there is a human being out there whose name is Manny.
And his last name is Faces?
Yeah.
One way to find out.
I mean, you could have a kid, name him Manny, and name his middle name Faces Chan.
Well, guys,
that's a thing you can do. I'm texting my brother to ask him if we still have all our He-Man figures.
Well, I'll continue on here because now we have a huge fight scene.
Nope, there's a human being, an award-winning new media journalism professional, founder of New York hip hop publication Birthplace Magazine. This dude's name is Manny Faces.
God dang it! Here's the deal. We're sorry, Manny.
I'm trying to figure out right now if he is old enough that his parents would have seen that episode of He-Man.
If he's like 30? Oh, no. Well, while you guys are texting and looking up things on Google, we have the most violent fight scene we've seen in a cartoon, because literally all those Monstroids get fucking murdered. She-Ra murders all the Monstroids. They are cut in half. Pieces are ripped off of them, and it is jolly. This is a fun time salad bar of death.
This raises a lot of ethical questions about whether machines are human and if they can feel pain.
These are clearly sentient creatures, and they tear them in half like they were paper.
They literally, there are five confirmed murders in this scene.
They deserve it. Mm-hmm.
They deserve it.
What?
They deserve
Why?
It. So if they had killed the man,
like,
machines.
I heard them mutter something anti-Semitic.
Oh, jeez.
We
will kidnap your children. Hitler had some good ideas. The
should
trains
have turned
ran
on the
on time.
Closed captioning to see to catch that. That's my fault. That's my fault.
Oh, man. Okay, so at this point, Skeletor steals the children, and we get into where this episode is going. We get into what this episode was going the entire time.
Like this. This is where Skeletor gets fucking grinched.
He does.
He gets grinched.
He does get grinched. Okay, so Skeletor is walking through the cold with another got like robot Mansheen puppy, which is adorable.
So cute.
He's adorable.
So cute.
Relay.
But also, the little girl clearly dies.
She fucking dies.
She falls in the snow and stops moving. She collapses in the snow and is not breathing. And then Skeletor is like, she's fine. Okay, I'll put magic coats on you. And then she instantly is like, I'm not dead anymore.
She gets right up.
And then she gets up. And then they're like, can we bring our puppy? And he's like, no, leave him in the snow. And the girl's like, he's going to die in the snow. They leave. The dog starts to die. And then Skeletor is like, okay, bring the puppy.
That is not a dog. That is a dog sheen.
This raises a lot of ethical questions about whether or not machines are...
Second.
If they're shaped like dogs, they are real, for the record.
Little girl falls down in the snow. Oh, she's died. Somebody gives her a jacket, and she pops right back up. That is a scammer right there.
This is what that I've been saying
orphan.
The whole episode.
That is an orphan playing the game. She knows how to do it.
This is what I'm saying. They're sociopaths. They know what they're doing. And then when they get with Skeletor, like I feel like in their sociopathic brains, they're like, all right, here's the deal. This guy looks like he could legitimately be dangerous. So we need to con his ass.
I never would have put this together without you guys. They are dangerous individuals.
They con Skeletor into getting Grinched.
And not just that, he carries the dog and likes it. He didn't even want to bring the dog.
Yeah, and it licks his bone face, which
sexy. Oh, yeah, I love it when a dog licks my bone.
I mean, here's the thing. It's supposed to be like, oh, the dog really likes Skeletor, but he's a man made of bones, and any dog is going to want those bones.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he makes
Exactly. You tell him, Gina, all dogs want a bone. All dogs want that bone real hard.
Okay.
So I'm just going to give him that bone whenever I can.
If our podcast leads to bestiality, I will feel really guilty. It's the only thing I'll ever feel guilty about on this podcast.
I'll be honest. I would be shocked if this podcast didn't at some point lead to bestiality. Sorry, everybody.
We have established my love of animals, so if anyone is having sex with animals or delicious foods that you could otherwise be eating, you know how upset I'll get.
You can still eat the food,
I do want to take a moment and ponder the politics of the Monstroids versus the Mansheens.
Sure, let's talk about it.
It occurs to me that I guess they're fighting over resources, as any conflict inevitably is the result of. But what resources is clear that the Monstroids do not consume the same things
that these Mansheens do. I think it's oil.
You think it's oil?
It's always oil.
I think they're both machine-based life forms, cyborgs of a sort. And they both need oil, too.
Yes. Well,
let me break this down one step further. The Monstroids first off appear as sensor tentacles to see what's up with She-Ra.
Yep.
And it's not until like some aggression takes place that they put her in a bubble and then leave her behind and don't harm her in any way.
They don't want to hurt these people.
No. And when the Mansheens show up, the first thing that I think Zipper says or Cutter says, he says, we're the Mansheens. The Monstroids are our enemy. Uh-huh. So maybe if you break it down, the Mansheens are the evil ones, because who's the one who gets murdered brutally?
The Mansheens, in the sense, the Mansheens are the Monstroids.
Yeah.
They're the real Monstroids.
See, I assume that they didn't hurt She-Ra and they put her in that glass bubble after showing their tentacles because they're coming back to film her doing tentacle porn later.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's a...
Keep the horse.
That's a fair assessment. We're in a world where that probably could happen.
Yeah, I feel like with all those different things on that planet, a lot of things are into tentacle porn.
And what if the Monstroids actually like threatened the bad guys, Mordak, Hordak, and Skeletor,
to take the kids,
and they're trying to protect the kids?
What they were doing is they took the kids, and when I forget what his name was, but they said that when he comes, we'll deal with him.
Right.
They didn't say anything about, like, we're going to fuck these kids up or anything. They were trying to lure in the baddest guy.
Okay.
The Monstroids are the true heroes of this episode.
They were going to kill the evil overlord of the galaxy using the kids as bait and then put the kids on a dildo ship and send them home.
Well,
I don't know
people
about the dildo ship.
I just assume everyone's riding in a dildo ship. We've been over this
chant.
They, as a people, have been wiped out. There is a genocide in this episode.
Oh my God. Yep. They're all murdered.
They get genocided, so we'll never know. And the winners write the history, gentlemen.
Yeah.
You notice how the Monstroids never said the Mansheens were their enemy?
No.
Not once did they. But the first thing out of the Mansheen's mouth...
Yeah, I don't know that the enemy was the right word. I think what they were actually saying was the Monstroids are our prey.
Oh man.
Oh, yeah. Man. Guys, well, okay, so that's deep right now. We've really cut to the quick on this, and now I see why the Mansheens did not take off.
Wait, here's the thing. I had a revelation about, so Skeletor's like being licked by the dog and blah, 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 and the little girl's like, I can hold him. He's like, no, I'm going to hold him. It'll go faster that way. And like, he clearly wants to hold the dog. And then a little while later, he's like, I don't know what's happening to me. And I realize he's having a stroke. He's not getting Grinched at all. His heart isn't growing 10 sizes. He's not getting infected with the Christmas spirit. He's having a stroke, and he has legitimately no clue what's happening to him.
And you can see because the right side of his face stops moving. It's terrible.
I will say, in all caps, I did write, oh, I hope he keeps the dog. I would have loved a He-Man series where he kept Relay. And it was just like...
It's like Dr. Claw and his cat?
Yeah. He was just like a mean son of a bitch, but he just had this cutest little dog just yapping around his ankles all the time.
At this point, I realized that back on Earth, there is probably a manhunt for the kidnappers, and a couple of guys probably got thrown into jail, and an up-and-coming mayor who wanted to make a name for himself expedited their death penalty.
This is making of a murder all over again.
Oh my goodness!
And so I would say like three gentlemen who were in the wrong place at the wrong time have now been executed for this child murder.
Not to mention that Donald Trump took out a full page ad in the New York Times begging for their deaths.
And you know what? He probably won't apologize.
He's gonna act like he never even did it.
And then these kids will probably show up, and the parents are like, "Oh God, let's just not tell anyone that they're back.
We have to move now.
We don't want it. We don't want this to become a thing."
Or do they just murder the children? And to bury them under the floorboards and act like nothing's wrong.
I mean, we've established that was what they wanted in the first place.
But they didn't want to do it themselves. So for the 100th time in this episode, somebody explains Christmas to somebody else. In this case, it's the children explaining it to Skeletor, who he's now Christian. Apparently just hearing the idea of Christmas is enough to make you like full-blown evangelical.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm into it. Like, let's do this. And a snow beast shows up. And Skeletor shows what a badass he is.
Yeah.
He dispatches the snow beast post-haste.
Uh-huh. Is everything in this world called a blank beast?
Correct.
How else will we know who the bad ones are, Chan?
We do not have time to name something and then explain the name. We got to get it all in one shot, Chan.
Horde Prime. That's the name of the big
Horde
bad. Horde Prime.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
So as opposed to Hordak.
So Hordak is... Oh, okay. Because I do not remember Horde Prime at all from this series.
Not even a little bit. But okay, so here we go. This is the big moment of the episode, right? So Horde Prime shows up.
Uh-huh.
The good guys... there's a three-way dance for the kids. It's rumble time, and it's going to be like multifaceted. We are going down right now. Skeletor gets exploded and knocked unconscious.
Oh, crap.
And
he's terrifying looking. Horde Prime. If you Google Horde Prime,
he's legit, dude. He looks like a Batman villain.
I'm assuming you already Googled this, Chan.
Yeah.
Here's the Horde Prime is legit
you
cool.
You don't want to meet that guy, so it's a good thing we never meet that guy in this episode.
No. Well, everybody's here. Hordak's here. The good guys are here. Everybody gets saved.
Oh, he's Hordak's older brother.
Depending on which continuity.
Don't tell me
there's timelines in She-Ra, for God's sakes.
Well, it's mostly comic versus TV.
Got it.
And, okay, so we end up just getting, like, a big laser beam. Like, there's a cluster F of a fight scene that happens here. Skeletor gets woken up by the dog. He's both confused and sad over everything. And then everybody teams up to throw Horde Prime's ship straight into orbit. Uh-huh. That's the gist of where we end up with this giant mess of a fight
scene.
Which
I was actually thinking, so they throw the ship into orbit.
Correct.
Which is exactly how Orko landed on Earth.
Oh, no, is Horde Prime going to Earth?
Yeah, I'm assuming Horde Prime is headed right for Earth at this point.
Oh, no.
I'm assuming he is.
Serves those parents right.
Yeah.
And there's a weird, okay, we're right towards the end of the episode right now. There's weird, did you guys notice it? Like, He-Man and She-Ra, like, flirting with each other, like, really weirdly.
I always used to think that.
It's like,
when I was little, I was like, ooh, yeah, like, let's play He-Man and She-Ra. And I was always in my mind thinking, like, yeah, they're, like, boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, no, I mean, as we all know, twins enjoy having sex with each other.
Jesus. That's not what I thought you were going with that sentence.
If TV has taught me anything, it is that.
If Pornhub has taught me anything, I mean, there's entire genres, pages devoted to.
Game of Thrones also.
Exactly.
Could I have just a little bit of that dialogue to kind of show the people at home what I'm referring to?
What, from the porn?
No. I'm the porn chan.
Ray, please. This is a family show.
Oh my goodness. Since when?
Here's the thing. He-Man and She-Ra were not raised together, it would seem. I'm looking at her Wikipedia page.
Oh, that's
even creepier. Yeah, this is stepbrother, stepsister porn.
No. They're identical twins. King Randor and Queen Marlena. What is both of them?
Right when the kids are about to go home, they just have a little bit of conversation as Prince Adam and whatever her name is. Princess Elaine. I don't remember what her name is. And it made me uncomfortable.
Etheria, that's her planet. Oh, I get
here
it.
Here we go.
She was kidnapped by the Horde and Hordak as a baby.
Okay.
That's her thing. So
Merry Christmas, young lady.
Merry Christmas, brother.
She ripped off his Santa beard there.
Creepy.
He was clearly trying to trick her into thinking he was the real Santa.
Yeah,
so
sit on my lap. Yeah.
Okay, can we just get to the levels of disturbing? He shows up with a slightly pudgier belly in a full Santa costume and beard and literally thinks he's fooling everyone.
Yeah,
You still have the reverb on your voice, boy. Calm down.
He says to She-Ra, how did you know it was me?
Yeah.
I don't know. You literally have the exact same haircut and same face and same voice.
I don't know, because I'm not a fucking idiot. Maybe that's how I knew it was you.
Also, how did they like get that costume so fast? I'm assuming the kids were like, oh, this is what he looks like. He's a fat guy. But
he's
like,
the goddamn Prince of Eternia. You think he doesn't have legions of tailors at his beck and call?
But here's the thing. I feel like let me explain to you what, like, if I said to you, like, oh, he's a fat guy who wears a red suit. Mm-hmm. He's got a big beard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would you come up with? You're not going to come up with that crap.
I would have come up, you know, that like Jaguar commercial with the Santa guy. He's like an old guy with two like hot elf chicks on his sides.
Yeah.
That's the suit I would come up with a pimpy, loungy pimp suit.
Gina,
made of
you
red
would,
candy cans.
You wouldn't understand this reference. Ray.
Is it about penises?
Bray Wyatt and Brother Love's old costume.
Absolutely, yes. Brother Love's costume.
This is a wrestling thing?
From WWF of the 80s. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yes.
There's only so many Bruce references Pritchard. That I wouldn't get that you guys would both get. It's either that or like specific things about your own penises.
And me and Chan wave them at each other all the time.
Yeah, no, we definitely
leave.
Know what each other's penises look like, so that's... That's common ground. Hey, you know how it hooks to the left? Yeah, just take a left at Van Owen, and then you'll be right at the place.
Chan, should we just tell everybody right now? Nightly, before either of us goes to bed, we send each other a dick pic.
Right.
It's
right.
Our, like, good night, Chan.
Also,
good night, Ray.
Also, we're twins.
We are also twins. I was actually kidnapped by Hordak when I was.
You guys are sending the dick pics every night to each other so that 10 years from now you can do one of those progression videos.
And you can see where the spot got bigger. I'm kind of nervous, actually.
Has anyone ever done a progression video like that? Because that would be hilarious.
Well, I know someone who's starting tonight.
Yep. We're going to start at January 1st. We'll do a year of dick.
Oh, my God. It'll be our daily wall calendar.
Yep. Seriously, that would be shared so many times.
And it could be with the Facebook
and
music in the background.
Like, you see, like, the pubes are slightly longer, the pubes are slightly shorter.
Oh, he clearly shaved that day. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Must have had something good going on that night.
Tell me something good.
We are starting to lose our minds, everybody. Okay, so we're right at the end of the episode. We take the kids get presents from He-Man. They're flying belts, which are goddamn cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, you cannot give Earth creatures Eternian technology that makes you fly around. You can't do that. That means that they're going to go back.
They just did.
The government is going to find out. Like, as soon as they show it off to their parents are going to call the U.S. government and be like, our kid's got something crazy over here. It might be Russian. And then within a year, the entire U.S. military is going to have flying belts, and it's going to mess up the history.
You're not wrong. I also like, I have just written down here, those parents are amazing. Their dad is super fucking Mario.
I hate these parents so much because it is yet again another fat guy, hot wife scenario.
Yes.
And I hate it.
It was just like King of Queens.
He is so fat. And then she comes out and she is smoking hot.
She is smoking hot.
And the parents are just like, hi, you're back.
Ah.
Oh, we didn't care. And then, like, the kids try to explain where they are, and the parents are like, oh, you're liars.
Don't
we'll explore
care.
Where you were later. Let's get to Christmas presents. And it's like, what kind of terrible, terrible parents are you? You sent your kids out for a Christmas tree. They don't come home for probably 3 days. And then you're like, shut up. Just open your presents.
Where were you? We don't care.
I think that those kids kill their parents immediately after this scene.
Well, we get the laugh walk off of them turning on their flying belts, flying away, and the parents looking at the camera and being like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, okay.
Dude has a front butt. come around here real quick. I just want to show you that he is so fat that he has a divot in the middle of his belly.
But don't tell me that's not super goddamn Mario. All you gotta do is put the hat on. It's me,
I feel like
Mario.
It's like fat Fidel Castro.
You know what? The fact he's wearing horizontal stripes does not help him in any way. Let me just put that out there.
I want the story of these parents.
I want them to have a spinoff show. Not fuck the Mancheens. I want the parents of Miguel and Alicia, the show.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they die 5 minutes into episode one when Miguel and Alicia kill them and bury them under the floorboards. Do you guys stick around for the PSA afterwards? Because it really was magical.
No. I
can we just play it really quick? Because it literally is the worst PSA they've ever done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. I'd forgotten about that.
I let it play out, and I didn't.
Well, let me just say beforehand, we'll jam play it in one sec, but the lesson we're going to learn, and you tell me if I'm wrong, it's that Christmas is something that's real. We're into peace, and getting presents is cool. That's the PSA lesson of the day. If we could just play it really quick, it's not very long.
So that's how Christmas first came to Eternia. Not everyone celebrates Christmas, but the spirit of the Christmas season is within us all. It's a season of love and joy and caring.
Yeah, we know.
And presents.
Presents are nice, Orko, but Christmas means much more than that.
I know, Adam. Christmas is a time of peace and caring and happiness.
We just said.
That's right, Orko. And what would make you happiest this Christmas?
Presents.
Oh, Orko.
Oh, I didn't realize that was what you were considering the PSA. I did watch that, and all I could think was, yes, they have now been indoctrinated.
Oh, yeah, they're in.
Their own religion, their own holidays are now non-existent, and they are totally into Christmas.
And here's the deal. Now they have a reason to be at war with Skeletor.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, anyone who doesn't believe in Christmas and the spirit of the season, we're going to fucking wipe you out. This is how the Eternian Civil War started.
That's it. And the worst part is Skeletor does believe in Christmas.
but he looks different, so he has to be...
he's got a skull head, so obviously evil.
He does, but he nailed a little tiny manifesto to the wall of a church. And so now they're two different religions.
Going Martin Luther with us now? That was awesome.
Yeah, Skeletor is Martin Luther.
Well, guys, there's our elongated Christmas He-Man She-Ra Christmas special.
Also, Bechdel test passed.
We passed it.
Mer missed a convo about the magic crystal with She-Ra.
Into it.
Lasted a long time.
Into it. Let's go ahead and just do the contact information and whatnot. First off, thank you so much, Brian Rapp, for helping us out this month and supporting the show. We'll be back next month and do whatever the heck else you want to do out there. Or anybody
Thanks,
else
Brian.
Out there, if you want to join in, $20 a month on our Patreon, patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast is the way to get episodes done at some point. And then $5 or more a month gets you stickers and magnets and all kinds of stuff we're brewing up right now. And, as you're hearing this, you have until the end of the month to join our Patreon. So if you want to go in there and subscribe for even $5, we'll give you the whole bonus vault and you get all the episodes that you can't otherwise get. Otherwise, go on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. We haven't talked about that in a moment. And thanks to those who have done that.
If you're buying presents on Amazon, we have an Amazon link thingy. I've been buying stuff like crazy on there. Some of it's been weird.
How's the cat fountain?
What the hell?
The cat fountain is great.
Shooting cats all over the place?
Yeah.
Delightful. So yeah, we have an Amazon, we have an Amazon link on our facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. That's our Facebook page. You can go on there, like us, and join in the community. Otherwise, you can hit us up on Twitter. We are at G.I. Joe Podcast. There's too much information.
You forgot.
I did. I am individually at Almighty Ray.
I am individually.
I say that like every time, don't I?
No, you say individually we are.
I am individually at Almighty Ray.
I am severally at 999 RPMs.
I am multiverse at Gina Ippy.
And thank you guys so much for listening. We'll put this episode up for a week and then throw it in the vault for the Patreon subscribers to go back to. We hope you enjoy it. We hope you had a great holiday season. And no matter which holiday you follow, because not everyone celebrates Christmas.
But if you're planning on moving to Eternia, you better.
Oh, you're going to get fucking murdered like the like the Monstroids did.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. Monstroids. Can I put that out there?
Yeah, they had a different religion, and that's why they got killed.
Never forget.
Is it wrong to say the Monstroids died for our sins?
Yes.
So on Easter they'll rise again.
Oh my goodness. Guys, I can't wait for Easter. Till then, good night.
I am Adam, Prince of Eternia and defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
"By the power of Grayskull, became the mighty Battle Cat, and I became He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Orko. Together we defend Castle Grayskull from the evil forces of Skeletor.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.